Welcome to the Sunday edition of the Big Red Bench. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you until 7pm. Thanks to Emmett for keeping us company this afternoon. On the show for you this evening, we'll preview Cork's clash with Clare next Sunday in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship final. I've also got reaction from this weekend's football semi-finals and some wrestling news coming up for you as well. Let's get into it, shall we? Starting with Gaelic games, where Galway have prevailed against Donegal and will join Armagh in the All-Ireland Senior Football Final. The final score from that game was Galway 114 to Donegal 15 points, and Tommy Rooney has the full-time report.
It is full-time in Croke Park and Galway are back in the All-Ireland Football Final, having beaten Donegal in an enthralling semi-final this afternoon by 2 points on a scoreline of 114 to 15. Paul Conroy's 23rd minute goal, a pointed effort which dropped short and into the net, was the first time we got a real bit of separation in this game. It put Galway 3 clear, but Donegal will go and drag us back level at the break. We will be level again 5 more times across the second half as the sides went point for point, with some superb efforts from play from both sides. Crucially though, Galway finished stronger. Michael Langan's fourth effort of the day was Donegal's final score in this game in the 60th minute. Galway will go on to score to Rob Finnerty kicking a free, his fourth also, and Liam Silk from the top of the D as the game entered injury time. Galway were last in the All-Ireland Football Final back in 2022. In 2 weeks' time, they'll meet Armagh. Both counties have enjoyed a colourful history of late, particularly since their epic All-Ireland quarter-final in 2022, which Galway won on penalties. Galway are looking to win their 10th ever All-Ireland title, and their first since their manager, Pádraig Joyce, captained them to victory back in 2001, when the late John O'Mahony was Galway manager. Full-time score in Croke Park, and it's Galway who have won by 2-114 to Donegal's 15 points.
Locally in the Red FM Hurling League, Ballymartell secured the Division 3 title after their final with Valley Rovers today. The final score was Ballymartell 220 to Valley Rovers 119. At the Euros, England boss Gareth Southgate has issued a rallying call to his players ahead of tonight's final. England take on Spain and are hoping to end their 58-year wait for a major trophy. Striker Ollie Watkins, who scored England's winning goal in their semi-final against the Netherlands, says Southgate is a key reason in how far they've come.
I feel like Gareth is very laid back and makes you feel at ease, really. And obviously there's a real togetherness in this squad that he's built from a long period of time.
Kickoff for the decider is at 8pm. At the Scottish Open, Rory McIlroy is looking to finish on a high. He's level par through 13 holes today, leaving him 12 under all round and 5 shots off the lead of Ludvig Åberg. Seamus Power, meanwhile, finished with 3 birdies in his final 4 holes to end the week on 3 under par. And finally in tennis, Carlos Alcaraz has successfully defended his Wimbledon crown after a one-sided performance over Novak Djokovic in the final. The Spaniard won in straight sets to clinch his 4th major while preventing Djokovic from claiming a record-breaking 25th Grand Slam title. Now, here at Red FM, we are joining the rest of Cork in turning Cork red as we gear up for the Rebel Hurlers facing Clare in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship final next weekend. Sean O'Donoghue, Cork defender, has been speaking to Dermot McCarthy ahead of the game.
Sean, it is the build-up to the All-Ireland final. After all the excitement in Croke Park this past weekend, how quickly have the players been able to get back down to earth?
You have to get back down straight away, really. You know, we obviously enjoyed the victory yesterday. We enjoyed the way home, but you know, like, it's, there's no medals for yesterday, like, which is the biggest thing. You know, obviously a historic win for us, and a great win for us as a group. You know, to knock out the All-Ireland champions. But as I said, there's a bigger test ahead now in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and you know all about that test because you've faced them already, and in, you know, the hotbed that is the Munster Senior Hurling Championship. There was only a couple of points in it, probably be the same again this time around. But for you personally, how much are you looking forward to taking on Clare again on the biggest stage of them all?
It's massive. Like, you know, for us, it doesn't really matter who we're playing. It's just the fact that we're in the All-Ireland final. You know, we've given ourselves a chance to bring Liam McCarthy home to Cork. Like, so, you know, anytime we're doing that, it's going to be special. It doesn't really matter to who it's against. They're obviously a very good side. You know, they've been in the last three Munster finals with Limerick, and you know, they've put it up to them every time. But you know, we've put it up to Limerick every time as well. Like, there's definitely no fear of anyone in our camp anyway.
The mentality of this panel and the way you've turned things around from the start of the season and the run that you've gone on, how much of that is engendered by the players themselves? I know Pat is a huge influence, and obviously the backroom team of Wayne Sherlock and everyone else, but the players as a group, I mean, have you come together at different stages and just helped drive this on?
Yeah, I think we kind of had a bit of a meeting after the Waterford game, and you know, we just kind of took a bit of ownership and just decided, like, you know, we didn't do what we intended to do on the day, and look, it ended up backfiring on us. So I think since then it's just been kind of like everyone to take ownership over it. You know, 38 players there. You know, everyone has a say. Everyone, like, you know, on winning yesterday, every single player has a part in that. Like, you know, number 38 on the squad has a part in that. And I think that we just decided at that stage it was just up to us to really push it. Like, and you know, with the help of the management, we've managed to just build that bit of camaraderie and a bit of resilience that are since that day.
Yeah, resilience is a very good word for this particular group of players, and I think one of the biggest aspects of your victory as well over Limerick, no one player did it on their own. It was a full team effort all the way through, from the back line right to a goalkeeper right through. Yeah. How much confidence do you get with Patrick Holland playing that well behind you?
To be honest, I'm always confident with him. You know, everyone's going to make mistakes in different games, and you know, it's just the fact that he's in the goal, and if he makes a mistake, it looks a lot worse. You know, you know, if you make a mistake out around the middle, or you know, in a wing back position or something like that, you know, if I was soloing out and lost the ball out there, they might slot it over. But it's, if he makes a mistake, it's a bit more costly. So but like the man, like, he's always positive, like, he's always smiling. You know, he's one of the best teammates out there. You know, he's just so positive, keeps everyone tuned in, he's ever confident as he should be. But I'm just delighted for him now that he's getting the praise that he really deserves.
In terms of preparation, you couldn't ask for a tougher test going into a Ireland final than beating the five in a row chasing, you know, history makers that were Limerick. The performance of the full back line, yourselves as well, all the way through. Did you actually enjoy that game? I know it's a, kind of a silly question, but 99 shots, all the excitement, so much going on around you. Can you actually enjoy an occasion like that? Are you just so focused you just want to win?
Yeah, I think it's just focus. It's hard to enjoy a game cornerback, really. It's easy to enjoy the last couple of minutes when you're up by a few points, but like 2 points isn't quite you can't really enjoy that, but no, it's a huge occasion, all these games, you know, and you know, it's a privilege to be playing in them. Like, you know, if I wasn't nervous and I was sitting at home, it'd be very different. Like, you know, it's a pressure that's you know, it's welcomed. Like, you enjoy every moment of it when it works out for you, but like, you're always kind of tuned in. You know, it's I suppose if you take your eye off the ball, you know, you could let a goal in. So it's simple as that, really.
Well, you didn't do it this past weekend, or no, and did you manage to keep a clean sheet against one of the best teams of the era? Can I ask you about Pat Ryan, his level-headedness and his ability just to break things down and simplify things before all these matches, but also the confidence that he gives the players in the group? Is it down to that level-headedness and that perspective and that way he manages?
I think it's just down to the respect that the players have for him, to be honest. You know, everyone knows that, you know, everything he says, every word that comes out of his mouth is gospel. Like, you know, he's spot on. Like, you know, he'll never say anything wrong. So like, I think it's just that, like, he's just built that kind of faith, you know, we have in him. Like, you know, obviously managers coming in, you know, they have a job to kind of get players on side, but like, you know, within probably a training session he'd everyone on side, like, you know, because he speaks so well, he knows the game so well, and he's got us going out for the last few games, so he's a huge part in what we've done so far.
Finally, huge build-up, huge hype. You've seen the support that you've gotten all year. That night you beat Limerick in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, the crowds that went to Semple Stadium, the crowds that followed you to the Dublin, the Offaly game, and now this past weekend, you're going to have a huge support coming into it. Well, will you be able to, you know, cocoon yourself as best as possible before that? Because you need to focus, all the players do. The hype is understandable, but from your own perspective, how important is it that you have that time to focus and get ready for the biggest day of your lives?
Yeah, it's massive. Like, you know, it's great to be getting texts off people, like, you know, saying best of luck and all that.
But asking for tickets,
all of the above, yeah. But no, I think it's just, you know, it's a time when players just have to be selfish, you know. Yeah. Especially, you know, even leading into the semi-final, leading into Dublin game, all those games, it's just, you have to just be a bit more selfish in those times. And, you know, if you have to be a a beep than be a beep, like, you know. So I think that's what it's about, really, just really taking that bit of just minding yourself and looking after your own corner, because that's what's going to be the difference in the end.
Excellent. All the best. Best of luck to you in that All-Ireland final.
Cheers. Thank you.
Let's hear from the opposition side as well. Here's Shane O'Donnell of Clare, who was speaking to Off the Ball's Tommy Rooney.
Shane O'Donnell, Tommy, how are you?
An All-Ireland final against Cork.
Something you're used to?
Not as used to as I'd like to be now, to be honest. But yeah, it's brilliant to be back in the stage. I think it's the reason anyone plays hurling, trying to get into these matches, and just looking forward to the build-up and playing the game.
The second half, the last day, you made sure that game wasn't going to pass you by. You got on a possession straight away. I think you took a hurl across the helmet, won a free, converted. It was a big factor of, I suppose, Clare's performance, that the players who needed to perform got themselves into the game in the second half. Obviously that was a conscious thing.
Yeah, it's a conscious thing, but it's also, yeah, sometimes it's a bit of luck as well. I'd say in the first half, it's not like we weren't trying to be in the game, or that, you know, we were thinking, oh, someone else will do it. Yeah, in the second half, I think there was we had the wind and a couple of advantages like that, and we'd seen how they wanted to play, so we'd been able to kind of modify a small bit in the first half. And yeah, that probably gave us a bit of an edge. So then when it came on in the second half, we just maybe knew where to get a little bit more space, and then started to get a bit of joy from that, basically.
It reminded me of something that Michael Meehan had said. It was in the Football Pod a few years ago. He played a Hogan Cup final in Croke Park. He was 16, he was the key player. The whole game passed him by for centre forward. After that, football-wise, he just made sure he got on ball in game. Is it different in hurling when you're trying to get yourself into a game, or is it the same thing?
It's similar. It depends on the position, though, I would say. Like, in half forward line, you can get yourself into the game, no problem, because you can go for puck outs. It's like easiest way to get into it, and even if you don't catch them, or if your team lose them, you still get an opportunity to tackle and to stop them getting out, or whatever it might be, so you can feel like you're getting into it. Full forward is a little bit different sometimes. You do really have to bide your time, and by trying to, like, bring yourself into the game more, you're actually taking away that space for when you do get that ball, and really kind of reducing the danger of you being in that position. So it depends on the position, but you do kind of have that opportunity depending on where you're at in the pitch.
And final one on this: when it isn't happening, or it isn't clicking, or you're not getting on the ball, you'd be expecting to get yourself on, or the brakes aren't falling, like, are you aware of it? Like, is it there, or does it happen so fast in an All-Ireland semi-final that you're nearly back in the dressing room, like, that just passed me by?
Yeah, there's a little bit of, you're not really, like, you're aware of it when certain things happen, but you're never really thinking, God, this is just not going my way today, kind of thing. So it's not really like that. It is one at a time. The only time, maybe this year when I played Tip and Championship, where I probably missed like 1-2 or 1-3 in the first half, like, and I came in half time and I had no score, I don't think, and I was just like, what is actually happening out here? But
were you able to address it?
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, I'm getting into the, yeah, you can rationalise anything. And I think I was just able to be like, you know, I'm getting the opportunities, getting the shots away, and that's the hard part, so I just need to continue to do that, like, you know. So you are able to rationalise it when you can sit down at half time, and during the half it just doesn't really cross your mind.
Were you in the stadium Sunday?
No, I wasn't.
I just watched.
Yeah.
The noise, the electricity, the colour, it felt like an All-Ireland final. I don't know, is it something to do with the red of Cork that they bring or something like that? I don't know, is the colour just contrasted the green or something? But, like, when you think back on 13, those two epics that you played, do you think of that? Does that come back to you over your career over the last 11 years, wanting to get back to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the pinnacle of the game, and you're always trying to get back there. I certainly, 11 years ago, wouldn't have thought it would take us so long, and I'm sure Cork had the same kind of feeling about it, that they really wouldn't think, or would have thought they'd have more opportunities basically in that time. It's just one of those occasions that, it's funny, I work with a company based in London, none of them know what hurling is, which is kind of funny, like, and there's like one other Irish person, and she like said in the main channel, like, congrats Shane, whatever, Joe, it's
this Monday morning.
Yeah, this is, yeah, on Sunday afternoon actually, but yeah, Monday morning basically people were reacting to it, like, oh yeah, great, whatever, and they were asking me, I was like, Joe, what is it, what's the final like? And I was like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like what you were saying there, it's like, how do you explain how emotive an experience that is like, you know, how much of a cauldron it is when it's full, all the colour and everything you feel and all that. It's just like, it's hard to convey that in words.
Surely you sent them the YouTube video of the 2013 replay.
I didn't. It is hard to convey,
right? Because, you know, it's amazing being there as a neutral, or you're working at it and you get the experience, electricity, and have nothing on the line. That's a privilege, like. But when you're playing, like, you're going to have the parade again. You're going to have Aaron Levine. You're going to have the walking behind the Artain band, meeting the president. Can you tally what it was like in 11 to how you're going to approach it this time? Or 13, 11 years ago?
Yeah, it's completely different. Like, everything about how I prepare for a game, how I think about games, how I play the game, how Clare or hurling is played now is so different in a lot of ways that there's not too much inspiration I can draw from 2013 that would give me that much. And also just feel like the way I like enjoy build up to games now and prepare in a more kind of relaxed way is just suits me better. And you know, yeah, so when I look back at it, it's kind of like more jarring the differences than the similarities, really.
You're a different person.
Yeah, I'm definitely a different person.
Yeah.
Also, there's an element of like when a few years ago when I was close to giving up hurling, probably everything after that has kind of felt almost like a free shot. It's just like I mightn't have been here on a very close decision, and everything that's come has been so brilliant that I've just enjoyed every part of it.
It's a good place to be. Best of luck in 2 weeks time.
Thanks so much. Looking forward to it.
Now, if you're heading up to Dublin a few days early for the final, then you will definitely want to hear about this event that I'm about to share the info with you for. Off the Ball are hosting an All-Ireland Hurling Final preview live from the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Dublin on Friday the 19th of July. And you'll have Will O'Callaghan, Paul Murphy, Anthony Nash and Podge Collins, along with some very special guests who will all be there. It is an exclusive off-air event and it's for a great cause, as all ticket proceeds are going to Focus Ireland, who are the official Bord Gáis Energy charity partner. And Rory has been speaking to Will about the night and about the All-Ireland Final.
All right, ahead of the All-Ireland Hurling Final, our friends at Off the Ball are hosting a Hurling Final preview with special guests Podge Collins and Anthony Nash, host of the Hurling Pod on Off the Ball. Will O'Callaghan joins me now. Will, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, Rory. Not quite as excited as people are around Leaside. Basically, anyone I know from a Cork direction at the moment, and even a few people from Clare, have been messaging me in the last 2 or 3 days looking for tickets at this stage. So 82,300 people in for the game between Cork and Limerick. I don't think there's going to be tickets to be had all that easily over the next week or so as we look forward to it. We will be giving away a pair of tickets at the Roadshow, which is every incentive you need to be at the Bord Gáis Theatre next Friday on the 19th if you want to come along. I think there'll be two of the hottest tickets in town for anyone who's coming up from Cork for the full weekend next weekend.
Yeah, they certainly will be. I mean, like, I remember there was a scramble in 2013 for both games, even in 2021 with half capacity. I can't remember the scramble being as intense in 2013 or in 2021 as it has been this year. It just shows you the appetite, I suppose, for the Cork hurling team, and I suppose the anticipation from the Cork hurling fans heading into Sunday week's game.
Yeah, it was remarkable. I was in Tullamore a few weeks ago for the doubleheader where the Cork footballers were playing against Tyrone, and then Cork were playing against Offaly in a preliminary quarter final the week after the Joe McDonagh, where, like, realistically, I think Cork fans knew that they were going to ease through that day. They'll have been disappointed they conceded 3 goals and 19 points in the day, and I wondered if it was maybe a little bit of a mid-season wobble at that stage, Rory, off the back of an impressive finish to the Munster Championship. And then Cork didn't exactly sparkle and had a very dead 10 or 12 minutes at the end of the game against Dublin in the quarterfinal itself. But I think when you look at the performance that Cork put in to dump out the Limerick team that can definitely be considered right up there as the best team of all time in the semi-final just gone, and we'd heard about how many Cork people had already booked their tickets for the train well in advance of that semi-final, and when you saw the sea of red that was around the team at the end of the game last week, it clearly has become the hottest ticket in town in Cork as well. And like, this is an incredible run into the final here, because Shane Kingston was telling us a couple of weeks ago that, you know, in a way, with the disappointment of the Waterford game, where there was expectation on Cork with the way they finished the league, they've almost built through the championship in the right way by then coming back, qualifying for Munster, the familiar story of having not won in the first two games like a couple of years ago, but yet still qualifying from the group, and then in a way feeling their way through the next couple of rounds to come to a semi-final. It appears to have been like absolutely perfect for them. I know you were in Páirc Uí Chaoimh this week for the media day. Yourself and Ger were getting a few interviews in for the Big Red Bench ahead of the final, and like, everyone seems very composed and calm going going into this All-Ireland final as well. I'm not sure if that's a reflection of Pat Ryan and his management team, who's always struck me as a guy who you know, keeps things very much on the level. I don't think the hype, even having beaten Limerick, is actually going to concern the Cork camp too much going into this final.
I think you're right, yeah. Calmness, I think, is the word I'd use to describe that press conference on Monday. Everyone was just quietly confident about what they have to do on Sunday week. There wasn't an arrogance, there wasn't a cockiness, there was a corkiness, I suppose you could call it. But I think you're right. I think that comes down to Pat Ryan and just the calmness that he exudes. And I suppose, well, he's had a tremendous effect on this Cork team, considering they started off their Munster Championship campaign with two defeats. A lot of people are questioning, is that it for this Cork team? So for Pat to get this Cork team this far is a tremendous, I suppose, credit to him.
Yeah, I think big style. And again, maybe it is a little bit of being able to draw on the experience of previously when their backs were up against the wall, that they were able to find championship performances when they were really required. But what struck me throughout the year, and we obviously saw it in the Limerick game last Sunday as well, was the fact that when Cork run from deep and when Cork get into that forward line where there's loads and loads of pace, they will trouble any team. And it was going to take somebody probably to stand up the last day, and that was Brian Hayes with his one goal and 4 points, where a lot of pressure is naturally falling on Alan Connolly after his exploits in the league, scoring that hat-trick and then people marking out that maybe he's going to be the marquee forward that takes a little bit of pressure off Patrick Horgan when it comes to scoring threat and providing that threat close to goal. And then Hayes was like a man inspired the last day. Now, he had plenty of very good workers around him, and I think Declan Dalton has had a really, really good year. And we talked on the hurling pod this week about the fact that Harnedy really stepped up against Limerick, and the Cork are offering, you know, a few different options there. We actually had to wait quite a while for Hoggy to finally reach the 700, which was hanging over after he went to 699 against Dublin. And after Hawkeye had taken a point that looked like it was going to be a point, you were wondering, is he going to get to a stage even with a bit of saliva on his face, which tried to clean away the blood above his cheek at one point. We were wondering how long it was going to take for him to hit the 700. He would eventually obviously get there in the second half. But, you know, being able to provide that type of contribution, and even, I suppose, options that have come up over the last while as well, where now Kieran Joyce becomes, you know, a player to come in almost like an enforcer and to add a little bit of slickness in that midfield alongside the brilliant Dara Fitzgibbon, who's having one of the seasons of his life. And then Downey slots right back in there at number six the last day as well, and did a really good job and looks very composed at six as well. And I thought as well, Rory, Patrick Collins, who took a little bit of criticism, I think particularly going back to the Clare game, and everyone will be watching that match back, not just because it was a cracker early doors in the championship, but also because of maybe the way that Cork's puck out had issues that day against Clare, and Collins took quite a bit of flack for that, despite the fact it's a team effort when it comes to the puck outs working or not. Like, he makes two wondrous saves in there. I'm going to give the first one, obviously, the Glan one, where he comes out and blocks it with his armpit, which shows a remarkable amount of bravery. And it shows that you nearly need to be a little bit crazy to play in goal as an intercounty goalkeeper. And then the technical level of the save from Garrod Hegarty, and also to force it into an area that was reasonably safe. Glan would ultimately slip. Maybe if he'd been on his feet and he'd gone for a ground stroke, he may well have got in for it. But that was an incredible save from the Hegarty position, where oftentimes that's a rocket that finds the net as opposed to being saved by a goalkeeper. And again, I thought that he pinged out the balls brilliantly, almost like a quarterback in that semi-final. He was a key reason for them to win. And like, what a redemption story that is after some people were criticising him earlier in the year. But this final against Clare, there's like such a brilliant freshness to it, because first time since 2017 that we haven't had Kilkenny or Limerick in an All-Ireland final. Like, Limerick have been the absolutely unquestionably the era-defining team that we've had in their run they've had from 2019 up until this season. They've now been beaten. And we go back to a, you know, in a way, the biggest meeting of Clare and Cork since the Holy Moses game, since the replay, since Shane O'Donnell announced himself on the scene in that replay when he was told on the bus, apparently, after they came off the train by Davy Fitz that he was going to play. He comes in, announced himself on the scene. And we had a long sit-down with Shane O'Donnell earlier this season. He was up doing media this week as well. And Joe Molloy asked him one question at the end, which is, what would Shane O'Donnell like to happen in the rest of his career? And he said, I just want to win one more All-Ireland title. So it's beautifully, beautifully set up with still some players from 2013 on both sides around. It's vivid enough in the memory. And that's why we had to go for Podge Collins and Anthony Nash as our first two guests for next Friday. Two guys who were very much to the fore in those finals. A year where Nash managed to get a whole new hurling rule named after himself.
Exactly, yeah. So two fantastic guests coming up at the Borgosh Energy Theatre next Friday night, which promises to be a cracking night. Well,
Yeah, I know, it's going to be great. Like, we don't have James Skell, unfortunately. He will make an appearance at some point, because I promised the Limerick crowd at our first roadshow of the year that he's at a wedding, and it's a family wedding as well, so there was no way I could convince them to allow him to slip away to Dublin to go to the Burgos Energy Theatre. So we're going to give him a FaceTime during the middle of it and give a chance for some of the wedding crew to meet the fans who've come along to the Burgos as well. Understandably, like, we are appealing as well. There are a lot of Cork people, and they'll be particularly prominent Cork people, I would think, around All-Ireland final weekend, especially if they're around the city. This is a great way to build forward to the weekend. And also the tickets, which are available at the moment on offtheball.com/events, if anyone wants to go. And I know Red FM have been sharing the link out over the last few days for your listeners as well. Like, those who are still listening to Red FM to get a taste of home, but maybe you're living a bit closer to Dublin, it's a fantastic opportunity to come in. The Burgos is a brilliant venue. What you're going to get are some stories that we may well not even be able to podcast afterwards. That's what happened last year. I know that James Skell definitely had some stories 12 months ago about some legal issues that he had run into, that when we went back through it, we went, you know what, that's just going to have to get chopped for the podcast. But you get it all in the night. I mean, understandably, we're going to do a massive preview tonight. Tommy Walsh is going to be there as well, the doyen of hurling, a guy who's who really sets the agenda when it comes to hurling coverage and analysis around the country. He's also got a few brilliant stories. It turns out that Tommy isn't quite as clean cut as he may well have come across at different times during his career, so he's going to be there to set the scene. So, like, you're looking at loads of analysis and chat ahead of the game between Clare and Cork, but also you're going to get some stories from the lad's career. Paul Murphy's going to be co-hosting with me. He's on the hurling pod every week. Four-time All-Ireland winner, four-time All-Star, one of the best cornerbacks of all time. And again, a guy who came to the fore earlier this year when he read out the proclamation in front of the GPO, and people started to go, wait a minute, is that guy who used to hurl for Kilkenny? And Paul is full of really good stories, which he's going to bring on the night as well. So I promise you, if you come along, and tickets have been moving along pretty quickly so far, you're going to have a great night in the Burgos, 2 days out from the All-Ireland final.
And also, as you mentioned at the start, well, the chance to get your hand in a pair of All-Ireland final tickets, which are going to be like gold dust all week, you can't really pass up that kind of opportunity.
No, you can't. And look, if you don't win All-Ireland tickets, I know that's the main thing you'd want to win on the night. We're probably going to do a quiz towards the end of it. We are going to have signed Cork and Clare jerseys for fans who are there in the night. We've got a load of Slitters, which we're going to get the guests to sign, and we kind of throw them out for people who ask questions during the Q&A as well. So that was very popular when we were in Limerick and Dolans a few weeks ago for the preview night there ahead of the quarterfinals. So for anyone who comes along, there are those to be won. And you get the extra bonus of listening to us for a couple of hours talking about hurling, when hurling has never been hotter than it felt last weekend. So thank you, Cork, and thank you, Limerick, for bringing 82,000 people to a semi-final when everyone was complaining about how few people had gone to the quarterfinals. So I think the hype is in absolute overload about after what happened. And, you know, the fact that it's been so long for Clare, relatively speaking, given how good they've been the last four or five seasons, waiting to get into a final, you know, your Munster colleagues up the road getting ready for this all-Munster, all-Ireland final. Like, I just hope it's somewhere in the same range as the game that we saw back in the second round of the Munster Championship. It might not be quite as open as that when it comes to Croke Park with All-Ireland nerves, but if we get anything like that, I'd be happy. If we get anything like the drawn game back in 2013, I'd be beyond thrilled with the spectacle we're going to see as a neutral as well. So really looking forward to the next week, and I'm sure it's going to be a crazy week for you as well, Rory, getting ready for this.
Yeah, it certainly is excitement, certainly building here on Leaside, anticipation certainly rising ahead of the All-Ireland final on Sunday week. But Will, thanks very much for joining us. Tickets available for the preview on offtheball.com/events. Will, it's been an absolute pleasure, sir.
Good man. Great chat to you again. Thanks, Rory.
The big Red Bench.
Cork, good times.
Red FM.
You are very welcome back for the second half of the Big Red Bench. Here it is, Sarah McKenzie Foley with you until 7 p.m. Thanks to Burgos Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. Now, how are everyone's nerves after the finish to that Ireland versus South Africa game yesterday? It took me a while to recover from that one, folks, I can't lie. It looked like a totally revitalised Irish team in the first half after the struggle of last week's performance. They were inflicting some serious damage, not only on the scoreboard, but on the bodies of those South African players. It was absolutely incredible to watch. But of course, the World Cup champions weren't going to roll over. And they came out all guns blazing in the second half. There were errors. The Irish scrum was being totally dominated. And it really, for a minute there, did look like we weren't going to be able to pull it back. But then that drop goal from Kieran Frawley, winning it by a single point, 25-24, for Andy Farrell's men at King's Park. Ireland are now the first team to beat South Africa on that ground for 8 years, the last previous team to do that being the All Blacks. Let's hear from the man of the hour himself, Ciarán Frawley. This was his immediate post-match reaction.
Been a long season. We know what an unbelievable test it was coming over here at the end of the season, playing against the world champions, double world champions. So we knew it was going to be a massive test, and yeah, we're definitely happy to finish it with a high.
I think he'll be dining off that one for quite a while, and certainly very, very well deserved. Now, I want to take a minute to chat about the Cork City FC senior women's team, who came away with the win against Bohemians at Turner's Cross yesterday in the SSE Electricity Premier Division. It was a screamer of a goal in the 90th minute as well that earned the girls a 2-1 win. And this was their manager, Danny Murphy, speaking to City FC after the game.
Danny, we're making a habit of the incredible goals.
Yeah, I wish they'd come a bit earlier in the game. So I'm going to have a heart attack by the end of the season. No, look, honestly, what finish? Like, even that, you know, Orla had a couple of decent chances in the game, and we tried to get Orla a little bit close to the goal as well so she can get more shots off, because her ball strike is really good. But what a goal to win the game. Like, it's an amazing finish.
In terms of chances, you mentioned Orla having chances there. There was kind of an onslaught of chances towards the end. We could have had two or three goals.
Yeah, look, second half, we had to go more direct. We had to try and play in their half more and not play out. So, like, we were trying not to play out in the first half, but we weren't winning the second balls. And in the second half, we spoke at half time, and that we had to start winning the second balls, and we'd done that, and we was able to then regain possession in their half and stay in their half instead of getting back into our half, then into theirs. And that allows you to press teams and to be on top of teams and be consistent and stay in their half, and we've done it so well in the second half.
We spoke about it last week as well when Freya got the goal, but all the free kicks tonight on the halfway line, all of a sudden that becomes a danger area to have a free kick from.
Yeah, like, Freya's an exceptional player. Like, her ball strike is brilliant. Like, the way she hits the ball, and it's exactly where it needs to be every time. And we knew signing for her, that's why we wanted at the start of the year, is that she'd be an asset to us in terms of things like that, with Doro coming in, and Doro coming on at half time is such a threat on set pieces. Like, she's always in and around it. And to be fair, little legs Orla was getting onto a few of them as well. Like, they kept dropping to her in the box, and you're like going, little legs is going to finish, but she's determined to get a goal off a set piece anyway, so hopefully she does before the end of the season.
And just on Doro, the last couple of weeks missing out through injury and coming back in now and getting back on the pitch and doing that to end the game.
But you know, like, being injured, she's been training every week, not missed a session, always on here, working after herself, trying to stay on top of things. And look, we could you have started her potentially, but you'd have been bringing her off at half time, 60 minutes in the game. So it's like, let's see how we can get to half time, and then can we affect the game then after that. And but she's a good player, and you know, we want to keep her here for as long as we possibly can, and hopefully now we can keep her in, staying to next year, and hopefully longer and years after that, because she's not just a good player, she's a good person, and she's great around the group.
Last week's victory over Piemont, and now this is the second victory over Bulls this season. Is it time to people kind of start taking Cork City seriously?
Yeah, I think we need to. I think people need to. I think for us it's about being consistent. And look, we weren't consistent in our performance first half, but we've been consistent in winning the game because we turned it around second half and done really well. But we're not worried about anyone else. Just concentrate on what we need to do. People can talk, people can say things, and the cameras can be here, but we've just got to make sure we do our job week in, week out, and then the results will come and we'll start moving further and further up the league.
Yeah, a great win for the girls, and they'll be in action again on Saturday, July 27th. That one's away to Shamrock Rovers. We're wishing them all the very best luck in that game, and hopefully they can make it 3 wins on the bounce. Now, while we wait for some more reaction, hopefully to come through from that second semi-final between Donegal and Galway, there was, of course, an incredible first semi-final yesterday with Armagh beating Kerry. Let's hear first from the winning side. Here's Armagh's Rian O'Neill, who spoke to Aisling O'Reilly from Off the Ball after the game.
Brian, well done. Just sum it up. What does it mean to be in the All-Ireland final?
Yeah, you know, it means the world to us. You've seen the place there after the final whistle. It was absolutely insane. But, you know, the old cliche, there's not one yet. But by God, it's special out there.
And it is important to enjoy it. Like, you've been through a lot and you could really see it out there. Even the fans, they kept singing for about 10 minutes after.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, they'll be hard sentence over the next 2 weeks. But we just have to keep the head down and not worry about that. But we got setback after setback over the last few years, and we just kept coming back. We knew the resilience in the group and the players that we had, and we know we were a match for anyone in the country, you know.
How are you feeling in that extra time?
My legs were gone. I think I told Geezer a few lies. He said, are you fit to carry on? And I just went back and stood in the square near the end. I wasn't fit to do much else, but listen, thankfully they held up there in the last few minutes and got a bit of a ball over the top of the Tobo.
Yeah, you had an amazing catch near the end there.
Yeah, listen, usually when you get them catches you get a free out, but I don't think I didn't get a free out there today, and Blaine dug me out of a hole. He got it out and then it came back over and we got up the field, you know, and once that point sort of went over, it was very special.
Do you think all the extra times, the penalties, all of that really stood to you today? Maybe it was all meant to happen this way, Ryan.
Yeah, I was thinking coming down the stretch, here we go again, we're going for penalties again, but it was one of them days. I think if we had to go to penalties, we would have won it too, you know what I mean? It was just one of them days, and we've been a long road, and we've 2 more weeks to finish the job.
I think one of the difference out there in the end was fitness, maybe. How fit are these Armagh lads?
Yeah, they're flying, you know, on the bench we have there, serious pace coming off our bench, you know. I don't know if there's many other teams in the country with the players that we have coming off the bench, and Charlie O, Goshin, Nugent Ross all coming on with pace, chipping in the scoreboard, and listen, when you've that coming on, it just fills your confidence.
And you had a lot of confidence out there today. There were some scores that were crucial that any other player might turn backwards, but you wanted the ball, you wanted to take it on.
Yeah, listen, that's sort of my game, sort of, you know. I'll take them chances on. Listen, there's times as well where I shouldn't be shooting, maybe I do take a shot, but I back myself and back my skills, you know, to take them chances on and feed off that sort of pressure environment, you know.
And does Kieran always say to do that? Like, sometimes you'd be worried, if I take this shot and it's not on and it goes wide, off, the head goes down, the bench is looking at me, Kieran's looking at me. Does he always say take it on?
Oh, listen, Kieran's massively supportive to us in everything we do, you know, and he'd never give it to you for something like that when it's your job to put the ball over the bar, you know. But there's a few boys there that have a wee go. Rory Grogan, that likes to see you walking it in a bit close to the goal, but he gets over it once it goes over the bar.
And for Kieran, it's not been an easy few weeks for him. What has this meant to him? You could see he was very emotional after the game, and to get back here, like, he's the last person that was up there in the Hogan Steps, you know. He knows what it means to get to an All-Ireland final, but it hasn't been an easy few weeks for him.
Yeah, listen, his son's in hospital there and he lost an uncle there a few weeks ago before the quarter final, and that was sort of in the back of all our heads, the tough time he was going through. But then he said to us before the game to go out and do it for ourselves, you know. We all have that reason why we're doing it ourselves, you know. Whatever it may be, there's young lad in Cross, Caelan Finnegan, that's sick. That's one of the reasons why you look around there at the end, and whether you've cramp or not, keep running just with him in the back of your head, you know what I mean? Because that lad would have been out here today playing some part for us, and he's going through a tough time, and it's for people like that you do it for back home, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it puts everything in perspective. I know the whole of Armagh and the whole country is behind him, wishing him well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he knows the support he has, and he's a fighter, you know. Absolutely, he's a fighter, and he knows the whole GA community and the whole Ireland's behind him, you know.
And for you to know that you're in an All-Ireland final, is this stuff of dreams? Like, were you here in 02, 03?
I was dragged up. My uncle Ashim was playing all them games, yeah. And mum and dad had us at every one of them games we were watching on, and it was fairy tale stuff back then. You're up in Croke Park every year and you just thought this was going to keep coming and coming, you know, and that's our first semi-final since 05. There today, and listen, we'll be in absolute dreamland 2 weeks if we get over the lane.
Like, when the whistle went, knowing that you're in an All-Ireland final, was that a moment for you of finally?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, even just the first semi-final we were in, you know, and we weren't coming here to make up the numbers, that's one thing for sure. We definitely weren't coming up here to make up the numbers, and people are writing us off saying we hadn't a chance, but listen, it's a game of football, it can go anywhere.
And lastly, I know you need to get in and get your food. We talk about the 16th man a lot of the time, about supporters, and I often think, ah, yeah, is it though? Today was the biggest example that I've ever seen, that it actually drove you on when you really needed it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Them fans out there are absolutely insane. You seen the final whistle, I was doing an interview with the side, then looked up at the hill and they're all going absolutely mad. But listen, we love our fans, you know, when they get behind us 100%, and listen, I think we're some of the best fans in the country, and we outnumbered Kerry there about 5-1 today, and there'll be some scramble for tickets for this final.
Your phone's going to be hopping.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have to turn off notifications for a week or two, maybe.
Good stuff, Reem. All the best of luck in the All-Ireland final.
Thanks, Ryan. Thank you. Cheers.
Now let's hear from Kerry manager Jack O'Connor speaking to the media following his side's loss to Armagh yesterday.
Looked like that goal chance, you know, into the hill was a critical moment, you know. Looked like if that went in, I thought the game the game was probably beyond our mind. Obviously, the goal that we conceded then, the poor goal we conceded, was a huge moment in the game, you know. I think that's what the game swung, those two moments, really. It's just that the goal we conceded then was a killer in the sense that it got the Armagh crowd into it. I thought we'd quieten the crowd for a large part of the game. And just gave Armagh momentum, and it's hard to break that momentum then. We did well to come back and equalise in normal time, but that required a ferocious effort from our boys. But obviously very disappointing as a game. We felt we had enough chances to win it.
And as I went through extra time, it was a greater sense that Armagh were going to win it. But on the side, they had the legs.
Yeah, and look, they just got momentum. That as I said, that goal game momentum, and the crowd drove them on. You know, they outnumbered us fairly substantially out there, and the crowd, I thought the crowd was a factor in the game, no question about it. It just lifted Armagh. And, you know, it was hard to, you know, for us tried very hard, but it was hard to arrest that momentum, you know.
Is that frustrating, Jeff, that the Friars did outnumber
Kerry? Look, Armagh haven't been here for a while, so, you know, they were going to come in big numbers. It's a bank holiday weekend up north, so. You know, Armagh are great supporters, great followers, and, you know, they came in big numbers today.
Did you feel that in some ways it was a slight relief to get extra time in one way, Jack, considering the moments of Armagh ahead towards the end of the North side?
Yeah, obviously, at that stage, you know, Dylan Gainey kicked a great point to take it extra time. Yeah, Armagh have been in those situations a bit more than us, maybe, you know. They've been down over the last couple of years. They've gone to extra time and even penalties in a few games over the last few years. So maybe they were, you know, they had the experience to manage that. But you know, we obviously had to make a lot of changes, and we finished the game without a good share of what we call fairly key men. So. In the end, maybe that lack of experience on the field told. You know, we maybe didn't. There was a couple of chances that we didn't take near the end. That maybe, you know, on another day we would.
What's your biggest takeaway from this game moving forward into the next season?
You know, we won't be thinking the next season now for a while. It's a bit early now to be thinking the next season. We'll have to lick our wounds and. Try and make sense of this one for us.
Yeah, obviously, David Clifford was just required by our man. He didn't carry him, get him into the game, maybe enough to get him on the ball inside to get that freedom that he enjoys.
What can I say? Sure, he's double and triple marked. You know, he's a pretty key man for us, but. You know, we up to this game, we were getting a lot of scores from other areas. Maybe today we didn't get as many as we hoped from other areas. But David tried his heart out there and gave it everything.
Jack, you were going with the four teams coming in with a 100% record. You know, were you tested coming back?
Well, we weren't tested to that extent. We were tested out there, I suppose. And maybe that was a factor. That was possibly a factor. But like my abiding feel is, when you miss chances and then you concede a poor goal like we did, that's huge, because it's a momentum changer, you know. Momentum is big in games, and then when you have a huge crowd behind Armagh and the momentum swings, that's a poor combination from our point of view, you know. Trying to tell me, Jason. Sure, we don't know. Sure, we'll. This management has another year in its contract or whatever. So, you know, we'll hopefully see that out.
Were you conscious before the game that there might have that level of crowd, and that this momentum might be something you'd have to deal with?
Ah, yeah, we knew that Armagh would be a big crowd. No, there was a good share from Kerry as well, but obviously it was not enough to match what Armagh had.
Have you had a chance to
meet
the players
yet, John? Ah, yeah, we had a few words in the dressing room. It's a somber dressing room, obviously. But sure, look, you have to take these things with a bit of grace, and you know, the players were exemplary all the year. They behaved themselves in exemplary way and represented Kerry very well. So nothing but proud of them.
Okay, I've got something a bit different to finish off the show for you this evening. Professional wrestling returns to Cork City next week with Leaside's very own promotion, and Rebel County Wrestling is what's back at the Pavilion with another stacked card. Rory has been chatting to two of the stars of the show, Billy Bedlam and Butch Armstrong. So let's have a listen to that now.
All right, delighted to talk wrestling now with our friends from Rebel County Wrestling. We have Mr. Billy Bedlam and Mr. Butch Armstrong here with us today. We're sat outside the Marina Market. Lovely, lovely summer's day here. But first, we have to go back to the last show, Mr. Bedlam, and the carnage that ensued at the main event that saw Mark Haskins walk out with two belts. Talk us through what happened, how you reacted, and how Haskins ended up with the belt.
Well, I suppose you're the general manager, Rory, sure, so I should be asking you those questions. But yeah, it was pretty much all done on the moment where CBA got injured. He took a spill to the outside and he split open. He got 8 stitches above. He spent the night in the region hospital. Yeah, no, it was a nasty wound. Yeah, yeah. So he couldn't continue, and the crowd didn't want the show to end with just Andy Steele in the middle of the ring, like picking up an easy belt or an easy win. So Mark Haskins ran to the ring, challenged him, and we decided to go up the floor. So yeah, Mark Haskins is double champ.
Yeah, it was an incredible show, it was an incredible night. How happy were you with it overall?
I was very happy with it. It was another incredible night in the Pav. We had a loud crowd as usual. Great show. There was a lot to unpack, but it was a great visual seeing. It was like the changing of the guard, Haskins winning the Rebel X belt earlier that evening, then going home with the interim belt as well, and then obviously More Money More Problems winning the tag belts and turning them into trios, winning the tag belts from this man on my left here, which is Butch Armstrong, but it's turning into the first Irish trios of all time.
That was a cool moment, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. So and then we ended the show with all the champions in the ring, and it's kind of changing of the guard. Isn't that right, Butch Armstrong?
It is. You know what? I'm not going to take anything away from More Money More Problems. Three fantastic competitors. They gave as good as they got, and on the night, it wasn't a bearded beauties night, unfortunately. But does that mean we're done? Absolutely not. We're going to come back stronger and better than ever with more big, beautiful beards than ever. I have beard oil applied right now as we speak, Rory. You could smell it, can't you?
Yeah, I can.
It's nice, yeah?
I wouldn't like to make a flame around you, to be perfectly honest. It might go up. But
I think he's been a bit quiet here. I sensed a bit of tension in the ranks between the two, between JDP and Butch. And I don't know, are they still on the same page? I think he's being coy about it right now because he is who he is. But I definitely think there is a bit of tension in the ranks there. Yeah.
Is there?
Well, look, you know what? We'll have to wait and see how the next show plays out. Look, we had a talk after the match. We kind of picked ourselves back up. Who knows? Who knows? We're gonna play it by ear, take it show by show, and see what happens. You know,
never easy losing a belt, though.
Never easy losing a belt, especially as we're the first ever RCW Tag Team Champions as well. You know, like I said, though, gotta give it to More Money More Problems. Can't take anything away from three fantastic competitors. But any other given night, that wouldn't have happened.
Yourself, what you're keeping busy, you're wrestling all over the country, all over the place.
I'm trying to anyway. Trying to, yeah. Any place that'll have me. Butch Armstrong is there.
But yeah, keeping busy over the summer anyway, that stuff.
100%, yeah. 100%. Try to fill up my date as much as I can. Exactly, yeah.
We're coming up to a show now in the Pav, July 20th, and the Pavilion, first off, was my first time being at a show in there. It's a great venue, it's an absolutely perfect venue, dripping in atmosphere. It's a great night out, great night to watch wrestling. It's a great venue in which to watch wrestling. But the next show coming up is going to be another big one.
Yeah, a big one. And speaking of big ones, we got Big Damo making his RCW debut. He wrestled in Cork just down the road in the Circus Factory, actually, a couple of years ago for Phoenix. But he is back, he's back with a bang, and he signed at RCW for 3 days. States, so we're going to see Big Damo hanging around for a little bit, yeah, which is great. But he's taking on the RCW champion in Owen Richards in the Pav. So are we going to see another title change? Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to having Big Damo joining us, and obviously Owen Richards is back as well from missing the last two shows.
Yeah, the title picture is, I suppose, a bit murky now with, I suppose, a champion and an interim champion. So how's that all going to play out?
Well, Mark Haskins isn't available for the next show, so you have one guy saying he's the champ, you have the other guy saying he's the interim champ. I think, Rory, as general manager, you've got a bit of sorting out to do here. But
I certainly do.
Get the pen out there, right?
Yeah.
Really lively.
But at the next show, anyway, it's Haskins was never available for this show in July.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got, look, I'm sure we're going to have to see champion versus champion at some point to unify those belts. When it's going to be, I don't know, but right now Owen Richards has his belt and he was never beaten for it. Haskins has claimed the interim championship and the Rebel X championship. So yeah, we've got to wait and see.
Saw Haskins wrestle in the UK years and years and years ago. He's been a mainstay of the independent scene, but like, do we actually got in Cork, he just became an instant fan favourite.
Absolutely, yeah. So again, I would have seen him wrestling in the UK in Progress and a few other places over in over TNA as well, and stuff like that. But he was immediately welcomed into Cork in February, I think it was, right? And he showed his love back to the fans by putting on a great show that night, himself and Mrs. Haskins. They're a great team. And look, I think ideally the Rebel X title is where we wanted to see him, because I think that style suits the kind of Rebel X thing that we're building in Cork. Just opportunity knocked and he walked through the door for the interim belt. But look, we have to wait and see where that goes. Now also, we're announcing very soon we're going to have a Super X tournament, right? And that's going to culminate in a first ever Ultimate X match, which the Ultimate X match is, you're going to have the Rebel X belt suspended over the ring, and it's going to be with hardcore cables, so it's going to be an X over the ring, belt suspended, and we'll have a ladder match for that. So the Super X tournament is going to determine who the three other competitors are going to be in there, with Haskins already being in there as the Rebel X championship. So that's going to be, we're going to see the very first, I'm going to give you an exclusive here, you're going to see the very first qualifier and an RCW debut with Omari coming to RCW for the first time, and that is the 20th of July.
Which is wooing here, that's a big name.
That is a very, very big name. Anybody unfamiliar with O'Mary, I mean, once you see this guy wrestle, you are going to have your absolute mind blown. Every time I watch the lad wrestle, he just gets better and better. Just when I think he can't pop me anymore, boom, he does something else, you know what I mean? Absolutely fantastic get for RCW right there.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And another big match is after being announced last night, was the Trios division is the first defence of their title. So More Money, More Problems are going to go up against Party Hardys and Gallicini. So obviously there's a lot of history there between Deputy Keitel and Kaylee Harvey and Session Matt and Jay Money and Gene Money and Session Matic. So I mean, that's going to explode.
Gene Money and Session Matt, the history there, I mean, you are going to see something amazing happen in that ring. And I'm a bit biased, kind of on the side of Party Hardys, you know, and Gallicini, but that's going to be,
just love Gallicini's moustache.
Everybody loves Gallicini's moustache.
It's a moustache. He's bringing the moustache back
in style, bringing it back in style.
Alright, that's all going down July 20th in the Pavilion in Cork. Lads, a pleasure as always, can't wait for tonight.
Cheers, Rory. Just one other thing before we go, we're also going to see the return of CBL, 8 stitches and all. He's going to get his return match against Andy Steele, and also for the first time ever the Freshnas are imploding. We're going to have Martin Steers versus Fabio, so there's a couple of big matches signed for July 20th.
Okay, so I'm just hearing that for the first time right now, right? And the wrestling fan inside me at the moment is actually screaming. Okay, you thought O'Mario was big. Okay, this match is going to be absolutely off the charts. Two of the best talents in Ireland at the moment. I mean, these lads know each other inside and out. They're going to batter each other. It's going to be amazing, Rory. Yeah. It's going to be amazing.
Stack card, July 20th Pavilion. Get there, RCW.
That is everything I've got time for this evening, folks. Thanks as always for tuning in to the Sunday edition of the Big Red Bench with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. It has been Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you. I hope you have a lovely rest of your Sunday, and most importantly that you've brushed up on your Spanish in order to cheer for Spain in that Euros final tonight. In the meantime, enjoy Green on Red with Mags up next. The Big Red